Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Daily Bread broadcast. This is your host, Marcus Brown, reporting. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many different topics I was looking at least contemplating what to speak on and to share with you today. And I am to glance at the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, where he says, and in verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Every one of us, the writer is saying, should be showing the same diligence like the patriarchs of old, to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. In other words, we never give up. And verse 12 says, that we be not slothful. We shouldn't be slothful. We're going to be diligent. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're going to walk in their footsteps. We're going to follow their pattern. We're going to do things the way they did it. We're going to learn from them. And we are going to inherit the promises and, you know, the blessings, the things that God has in store for us. And I thought, just for a little trivia this morning, you know, to ask, how many promises are there in the Bible? Well, I looked it up because I've heard so many different numbers. But we can conclude that it's over 7,487. Those are the ones that are made directly to men, and there are the promises and so on. But my point is this, how many promises has God made to mankind? 7,487. How many have you received? How many has he made to you directly? You may want to ask. And we find, ladies and gentlemen, that it is a challenge when you stop and think about it from that viewpoint. But my point is that God is so generous, he's so willing to bless us, he has opened up so many opportunities for us to be able to receive from him, that it's really difficult for us not to be in a position to receive. And yet you find people from time to time who go about their daily lives as if they are destitute, that they are by themselves, and there is no way they're going to make it. And you have, you know, government officials trying to enforce that viewpoint. You can't make it without the government and things like that. And we fail to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God has given us many precious promises. Take, for example, the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, where Jesus is speaking and he's talking about, you know, not worrying excessively about the how you're going to make it, how things are going to work. I'll work out for you, because you find folks that listen to these days, there are so many who are trying to convince us that unless they get your last dime, unless they get your last, you know, bit of resource, they're not going to make it. How did they end up like this? And why is that really the truth? And if they get what you have, will that improve their lot? You know, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, he says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of tomorrow. In other words, don't put all your, you know, thought into that process. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have enough challenges already. Pay attention to Jesus. Seek him first, it says there. That's a promise. And then these things will be added unto you, the material things. You can go back and read the whole chapter, especially starting with verse 27 all the way through verse 34 of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And what I'm trying to convey to you is that there are many promises that God has given us, has made available, you know, should really just put on the table. And it's up to you and I to walk in that direction, whether we really want to receive whatever the promise is or not. In the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, Jesus had cursed a fig tree the day before, and so the disciples were coming along, and the 20th verse, it says, they saw the fig tree dried up by the roots, and Peter, remembering what Jesus had said the day before, he's pointed out, he said, man, look how quick this thing happened. You just said it yesterday, and now this thing is dried up from the root. And so Jesus made another statement that you and I need to pay close attention to, because it involves yet another promise. And so verse 22 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. See, our key here is what? Faith. Have faith in God. He makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it. That's it. Yes, you can go to the bank with that understanding. He makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it. Verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now you say it, and you have no doubt. Why? Because, you know, God keeps his word, right? But shall believe those things which he says, it shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So whatever the statement you made based on the promises of God, you're going to have it, because you're not going to waver. You believe that God is going to fulfill his word. He's going to do what he promised. And so verse 24 says, therefore, this is a conclusion you and I can have then. We can make this conclusion. I say unto you that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When you pray, whatever things that you desire, when you pray, believe. You're praying how? Based on the word of God, based on the promises of God. And whatever it is you pray for, you know you're going to receive it. Why? Because it's based on the promises of God. It's not empty promise. God has power to fulfill his promises. And that's what you and I need to pay attention to. Really jot down, write it down if you haven't done so yet. Memorize this. Make it a part of your thinking. Let's look at another one. It's a little more challenging, but in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. Because we have been commissioned to do certain things. You know, God supports those he sends out. And so it says in verse 14 of Mark, the 16th chapter, he says, afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They were slow in catching on. You know, we can be just as slow in catching on from time to time if we're not on our P's and Q's. So we need to sharpen, stay focused, read the book, pay attention. And so verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you and I were not there, but we are followers of them who were there. What instruction was given to them? For them to go into the world and preach the good news. By default, it falls to us now, for us to go into the world and preach the good news. Now, look at what is accompanied here. It's verse 16. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believe not shall be damned. Another version says condemned. And these signs, verse 17, and conjunction and means included in addition, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Are these signs following you? Let's look and see what they are. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, it happened to various extent among us. But my point is that these signs should follow us also. That's a promise. It's a promise. To whom? The believers. Are you a believer? All right, check up on that. You know, in 2 Corinthians, we're going to touch on one more. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. We read about being a cheerful giver. Paul is speaking. He was there collecting some, you know, well, I guess you'd say goodies for the saints. So he says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you." It's necessary for me to write unto you. "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia," which is the, you know, part of Greece at the time, "was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked very many." These folks in Achaia had provoked many. They were zealous for the things of God, just like you and I are. Verse 3. "Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you are ready." So he said, I'm going to say, you know, I'm taking the liberty, because you know you have good friends and you know they're going to come through because of you just said it. They're your friends. But here it is. He's not, you know, just leaving it happenstance, so to speak. He says, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and give him a little, you know, forewarning. And so he sent the brethren there to go and tell the folks, hey, listen, we're going to come by. Be ready. You know you're going to do it, but you still want to go ahead and give you the word of encouragement. That's another sign of respect, by the way, we show to one another. And so verse 4 says, "Lest aptly if they at Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we may not, you should be ashamed in this same confidence of boasting." See, when they come and he say, all right, well, you know something? We really was in the field. We didn't really put it together yet. They're going to get it together. But because he's been bragging and telling everybody that these folks, I mean, they're ready every time, man. They're ready. They're ready. Therefore, he's sending them along. Because he's going to be embarrassed since he's been bragging. And they also will be embarrassed because they want to put out their best effort, so to speak. So verse 5 says, "Therefore, I thought it necessary to encourage the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up, you know, make up beforehand your bounty whereof you are noticed before, the same might be ready." So he come on and said, go ahead, get it together. He talks about, in verse 6, "He which sow sparingly, reap sparingly." Well, you understand that. Verse 7, "Every man as he has purposed, let him go ahead and give." It's free. It's a free will offering. Practice doing these things. Doing when? Free will. And verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." That's a promise. He is able to do that. "That you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." That you may abound to every good work. And verse 9 says, "As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, his righteousness remain forever." God, yes, God make a note of it. He hasn't forgotten it. And verse 10 says, "No, he that minister," listen to this now, this is a promise that most people overlook, so let's look at it together. Verse 10, "He that minister seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown." He's the one who's been giving it to you in the first place. And he's going to make sure he multiply what you have sown, while at the same time, he's providing these things for you to be able to sow. All right, and so he says, "He increased the fruit of your righteousness," verse 11, "being enriched in everything to all bountiful, which caused to us thanksgiving to God." For the administrator of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Let's go back and read verse 10 all the way to 12 again. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, who is that? That's Jesus, the Lord, the Father, right? Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for our food and multiply our seed sown. And so the point here again, ladies and gentlemen, is that he's the one who provides the seed for you to be able to sow, to give to the brethren, to give to whatever the circumstances are, and he's going to multiply it. I see my time is up, but I want to go ahead and just encourage you to read this again and to think about these promises, ladies and gentlemen, because I am telling you, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 tells us clearly, in due season, we're going to reap if we do not stop, give up. If we don't quit, in due season, we're going to reap. And so I'm going to encourage you to continue to follow these teachings, study the Bible, apply it, and you're going to begin to see how God continues to open up doors before you. Look at the many, many promises. There are many, thousands of them. Look to see how many actually applies to you and how you can actually fulfill and just do more for the kingdom in that manner. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.